Stop this show right now. You two sure think you're fancy pants, don't you?
Fancy pants? Well, who are you?
I'm Jimmy Ray. People around these parts think I'm pretty much the smartest when it comes to wine. They all think that I'm a sommelier.
Oh, the smartest.
What? No, they think I'm a sommelier.
A what?
You don't know what a sommelier is. One of those know-it-all wine guys.
Oh.
I heard through the grapevine. Get it? Through the grapevine?
Yeah.
That's a little wine humor there. That tonight, y'all gonna be swallowing some yeller wine.
Yes, we're tasting a white wine, Jimmy Ray, from Spain.
I don't know where this Spain is, but once I had a wine from a whole different county.
Oh my, what county?
Well, if you're gonna get all fancy on me, I'm leaving. I got chores to do anyhow. But you just let me know when you're gonna be drinking a red one. And I'm going to be back because I had a red one once that tasted just like Meemaw's famous berry pie. Don't that just get your mouth to watering? Gotta run. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Jimmy Ray. How did he get in here? Who left the door open?
Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell and leave our door open for people to just walk in off the streets. So I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my wife and wine tasting partner, Denise.
Hello, everyone. I was on such a Ray. You're welcome.
Okay, so this is Denise's show, her show part two.
Yes.
Yeah. So what it is, we did a show last week on Denise's wine that she picked out at the store because the label was so beautiful.
It was.
And this week, it was, you picked this wine because it was an interesting label.
Very interesting.
So it just has some like handwritten words on there.
Right. It looks like with a white chalk eraser, yeah. A white chalk marker, excuse
Looked
me.
Like somebody wrote it out in hand.
And,
okay. And so that interested you enough to buy this wine.
It did.
So that is what we're doing tonight. We're going to taste. Last week we did a beautiful wine bottle, beautiful wine label.
And that was a, what kind of varietal from Lodi?
That was an Albarino.
Albarino from Lodi, California.
And we both liked it.
And the vineyard was Oak Farm?
Oak Farm.
It was very good.
Yeah. And so we really liked that one. So hopefully we'll get two for two on your labels.
There you go.
So we'll see if that's any good tonight. Thanks for listening to the show, though. And we're here for people that want to learn about wine like we do.
Correct.
They want to have more fun with wine. And speaking of having fun, I'm going to tell a story right after I get done with this. But thanks for joining us on this wine journey. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Is that a cliffhanger?
Yeah. Stay tuned for the next 10 seconds. Well, but yeah, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to the show, give us a rating, and give us some feedback if you would. Send us a note and let us know what you think of the show and if there's a wine that you'd like us to try.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it. So the story I was going to say, having fun with wine, we just went to Coopersock.
Mm-hmm. And did a blind tasting.
And they don't really advertise it. I think in March or April, something like that, they had their monthly tasting be a blind tasting. We love that, but they don't always do it. I talked to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. Just tell us you want to do that, and they can pour you some wines without you knowing what they are.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up doing it. We had a blast.
Yes, that was fun.
And it ended up, our server said, oh, man, you guys made my day. This was so much fun doing this. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, she enjoyed picking them out.
Yeah.
And seeing what we came up with.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really fun deal.
And I thought we were getting better too. We had some more correct.
Yeah, it was tough. We had some really odd wines in mm-hmm. there. So it wasn't easy. For the most part, she didn't take it easy on us.
No.
And so it was no fun. Hints. It doesn't matter. I don't care if I get them.
She wanted to give us a hint on one of them, but yeah. She did not.
And I don't care if I get them right or not. It's just the fun.
To get a few right.
Well, I do like to get them right, but it's just fun going through the process mm-hmm. of trying to figure out what they are.
And that's it shows you that you can be tricked. So, well, one of my favorite wines was on there and I would not have known that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I missed it. I don't know if it was because I was so enjoying the red wines that.
But I wanted to put out there for all the wineries, all the wine bars. I know wine flights are getting very popular. Mm-hmm. Why not do a wine flight of blind
mystery
wines.
Wines.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to figure out which wines they are.
Yeah.
You get to be sure
they need to do that.
Holmes.
I'll tell you, people will love it.
I think so.
I think so too. So anyway, on to our show. Tonight we are trying a wine, and that was the other reason that we got this wine. Denise thought the label was very interesting, but it was also of a variety that we've never had before.
Right.
In a single varietal of wine.
And I'm going to let you pronounce it.
It's a Macabeo.
Macabeo.
Okay. Macabeo, it's also known as Viura. But it is the main white wine grape from Rioja.
And we've never had it before?
And there they will call it Viura.
Viura.
I told Denise, I'm sure people listen to Spanish wine episodes just hear me pronounce these words. And then the obvious question is he really Spanish? Anyway, enough about it. So Macabeo is one of the main white wine grapes in Spain. It's one of the main grapes used in cava.
Cava.
Yeah, cava is...
Heard of cava.
Yeah, it's basically their Spanish sparkling wine.
Oh, okay.
So they used to call it, I forget how it's pronounced, but basically they called it champagne. And then when they did the... Champagne came out and said, you can't call it champagne mm-hmm. unless it's from Champagne. The European Union agreed. Then they changed and went to cava as their sparkling wine. And it has basically, they use three wine grapes, just like champagne, except instead of Pinot Meunier, Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay, they use Parrayeda, Zarello, and Macabeo.
Okay.
So those are their three grapes used in cava. But it's not that big of single varietal grape. According to the Oxford Companion of Wine, it's mostly used for a blending grape. So a lot of people use it just as part of their blend. And Oxford Companion actually said when it's used as a single variety, usually it produces a relatively bland, dry, white wine.
Mm, bland.
Doesn't sound very good, does it?
No.
But they said
and I it's, picked it out.
But
maybe
they
that's
actually,
why they just handwrite the bottles. They just have a little extra from their sparkling wine.
So all of their wines from this winery are... That's what their label looks like.
Okay, so they have a lot more wines.
Yeah, they do have different wines.
It's a newer winery.
It just started in 2018.
With a female winemaker.
Yeah, I think she came from Sicily, if I read things right. And but it's grown throughout Spain, this grape is. And it actually goes into southern France, into the Roussillon region. But there, a lot of times, it's used for blending also in the Roussillon, mm-hmm. also in whites and in rosé wines.
Okay.
But it's also oftentimes put in barrels and aged in barrels. And then you get more of the, they say it's a real long-lived type of wine. It gets a lot more complexity, a lot more nuttiness, and that type of flavors on there. We talked about it, the oura being another word for it. So you might see, it almost sounds like that. You'll probably see that maybe more often than Macabeo.
I wonder why that is.
Well, next week we'll have the same thing. They call these grape varieties different things in different parts. And I think a lot of it came because they didn't know they were actually the same grapes.
Hmm.
Back when they were, like, they were naming these grape varieties, a lot of times they didn't know they were the same grapes. And they've only just found that out in probably the last 30 years because of DNA testing. They DNA test now on these grapes. That's like Carmenere down in, Chile. For a lot of long time, they thought that was Merlot. And then they did DNA testing on it and found it's Carmenere.
Mm.
So anyway, they were talking about Macabeo. One of the things, it's oftentimes harvested a little bit early before it's completely matured. So you get, and then it's aged in stainless steel. So you get a very bright, acidic wine. But it can also be harvested a little bit later, put in oak for storing, and then you're going to get more of a honeyed, nutty, oaky flavor in the wine. So, okay? So you can get different types of this wine. Now, this one tonight, it comes from, like you said, a newer vineyard,
mm-hmm.
just started in 2018. The winemaker, they said, is only 28 years old, and they're very, it's got the ecological or whatever, ecologico.
Right, and it just means it's certified organic.
Well, but it's more than, it's like more of a biodynamic maybe, or something along that line.
Okay.
I was reading where they talked about they're really interested in preserving like the old type of production, and they're really trying to be as conscientious about producing this wine as they can be. And I know one of the thing is in the, because this is produced down in the area, Manchuelo. They said a lot of the vines down there, they're trying to irrigate them now and stuff, but there's still wineries like this that, what do they call it? Like dry harvested or something like that, dry grown, where they just...
Mother Nature takes it.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're not irrigating and that type of thing. So anyway, they're really trying to be conscientious when it comes to that. And like you said, it is...
certified organic.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
When do we get to sip this?
We can start.
Okay.
And I know they said they really try to use the least amount of, you know, sulfurs. They use that as preservative in just about all wines. And
that's why this had the wax top.
So this one, they really try to be mm-hmm. Good about not using anything.
It was a cork with a wax top.
Correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. A real cork,
wax top, handwritten label.
So we're going to give this a smell now and a taste.
Well, let's do the color first.
Yeah, you do that. And I'm going to tell them we're going to rate it 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. 1 being terrible. We won't even drink it. 2, we'll finish it, but not good. 3 is pretty average. Not bad wine. 4 is really good. 5 mm-hmm. is Denise secret, won't even share.
No, secret stash.
Okay.
Okay, for the color on this, it is, I'd say, a light pale golden yellow with a touch of green in there.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm. And the smell, to me, is very floral. Floral, citrus.
Mm-hmm. Citrus.
We get pear, apple.
And when we first opened this up, I really felt like I got nutty.
I don't on get it, that.
But I do not get that now.
Floral and citrus is what.
Yeah, citrus really comes across. Maybe some floral.
But it's a pleasing nose.
Yeah. Yeah. It smells, smells nice.
Oh, wow. Very, very crisp and clean and pucker. Get the lime on the finish. What about you?
And I'm changing a little bit from my first flavor. The first thing I got was pear. And now I'm saying green apple is probably the predominant for me. And green apple, citrus, lime, lemon.
And this is like, you want to take little sips. It's so, so much of that pucker
it
power.
It is crisp.
Mm-hmm, crisp. There you go. It's very crisp.
And I think this is 12% alcohol, which is very surprising because it does not. Yeah, 12% alcohol. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, it's very this light.
Is, yeah.
It's very light. It's good. Good. I would say a good sipper wine. Just a sip. Mm. And they say this pairs excellent with crab legs. I could see that. Mm-hmm. That crisp, clean. Yeah.
I think probably most seafoods, it's going to pair pretty well with.
Because you get that lime finish on it. Or at least that's what I get on the finish. But this is definitely small sip. And it's not because of the alcohol. It's for the brightness.
Okay.
Acidity.
Definitely pear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pear and citrus are my two.
I get more pear on the smell and more apple-y on the palate. Apple and lime, isn't that kind of a different combination? But it's pretty tasty, really. It's just not something I'm going to drink all by itself.
Yeah.
I want something to go with it.
It's very, it's got some acid, got some zing to it. And this would be a good patio wine in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I see why it's popular in Spain.
Yeah, it's light and crisp and a little bit of a slow sipper.
Okay. What would you rate this?
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't get it just for the wine. I would get it to pair with something.
Okay.
So I'm going to say a high 3.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm probably going to...
Is it a little too bland for you?
Yeah, I'm probably at a 2, really.
Really?
I suppose that's not fair. I'd go a 3. It's an okay wine, but it's definitely nothing I would seek out ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't eat crab legs.
I would.
Well, you like seafood more than I do. Yeah, I love crab.
Yeah, I love crab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would definitely eat crab meat.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that sounds pretty darn good with it.
So did you like our last week's better, the Lodi?
Yes, I like last week's much better.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
The pretty bottle.
Yeah, it was just a little fuller body, less acidic, better mouthfeel to me, had more interest in it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just drawn to that kind of wine.
Mm-hmm.
If you like crisp.
This is crisp.
This is crisp.
Not as crisp as some we've had, though.
And
the New Zealand one that was a zinger. This one's a lot smoother than it.
And the Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand has got that grassiness to it. Mm-hmm. And this one does not have that to it.
It does not have
even grass. Though it has a tiny little green tint to it.
I think that's the apple.
I don't get. Oh, that could be. I don't get any of the grassiness.
No, no grassiness.
So, but yeah.
So I prefer this to that grassy.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, that's probably something good to take out if you're a Sauvignon Blanc drinker, mm-hmm. especially a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, you might like.
You might want
to
try
You might like to try this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent point.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I think that.
So that ends. I'm kind of sad. That ends my excitement.
That's enough of your shows. We're moving on.
We're done with you.
In fact, we're moving on next week to a red one.
Okay. What red one are we?
We've got a Petite Syrah. So we'll do a tasting of a couple different priced Petite Syrahs next week. We'll learn about them.
All right.
Find out what there is to know about Petite Syrah, which it's kind of getting to be one of my favorites. Yeah, I've really liked a couple of those that we've had. So we'll try those. And I think that does us. Happy wine trails to you. Until we taste again on the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast. Bye.
Bye, everyone.